Good evening. So I've been thinking a lot this week, perhaps quite obviously as I prepare for this sermon. And one thing that struck me is that we hear a lot on the news about how our society is becoming more secular. But you know, I don't think that's true. I think our culture is becoming more open to talking about Jesus than it was just a few years ago. There is a developing curiosity about all things spiritual. If you don't believe me, tomorrow, have a look around the shops at the marketing on display. Have a look at the adverts on TV. Much of it appeals to our innate desire for something greater or better than ourselves. There's an image going to come up. You can buy hope in a jar. Who knew? Hope in a jar. An even better one is at the end of a video for one of our main mobile phone networks. I can't show you the video because it takes too long for this evening, but there's a hashtag and it said, phones are God. And then it suddenly changes to phones are good. Phones are God, apparently. Amazing. So, the power of connecting with things spiritual, our innate desire for things spiritual, has been recognized by our marketeers, by our advertisers. And that's why they're using these slogans. This is why they're trying to convince us that we can buy hope in a jar. So when people ask us about the Christian faith and we tell them about Jesus, I think there really is a genuine interest from lots of people. But here's the rub. This increasing awareness and desire for spirituality in our society does not necessarily mean the work of the Christian evangelist is easy. The struggle we have as Christians, as people who are called to share the gospel, is that lots of people want to learn about what Jesus could mean for them, but only on their own terms. They prefer learning about a Jesus they can keep in the box and go to and get wise snippets out of. But if you seek to learn about Jesus only on your own terms, when you meet with him, it won't be an encounter that can challenge or transform you. That approach will not allow him to change you or ultimately help you. So the Gospel of Luke is written to give us access to the real Jesus, as all of the Gospels are. We hear his voice through his writings as we read them. We hear Jesus say, "Repent, believe the gospel, and follow me." Jesus says, "Follow me." And it's this message that says, follow Jesus, that I'm focusing on today. If we do our best to do as he taught us on how to live and behave, if we respond to his call on our lives by doing our best to follow him, truly follow him wherever he leads us, then we get changed. The world gets changed because Jesus' call is powerful. It's the single most significant thing that can happen in your life. Becoming a Christian is the most important thing that has ever happened to me. My life now is beyond recognition of what it used to be. I'm married. I have 3 children. I was married before I became a Christian. I love my family dearly. And becoming a Christian didn't take anything away from that. I don't love my family any less because I discovered that Christ is real. And yet, the most important thing, the greatest thing that has ever happened to me, was when God woke my soul from the slumber it had been in all of my life. That enabled me to see that God is real and that he is active in our world. And at that moment, I was transformed from an atheist to a believer. almost in an instant. So that moment remains the most important thing that has happened to me. What are gospels? Gospels are good news. That's literally what the word means. But it doesn't just mean the good news that the queue at the supermarket was less than you're expecting. It means something really significant, good news of something big has happened, something so big it is changing history. The gospel or good news of Jesus Christ is so big. It is bigger than us. The gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, isn't about us, but it's about what he has done and what he is going to do. Fear will be gone. Poverty will be gone. Injustice will be gone. Suffering will be gone. Selfishness and evil will be gone. God is concerned with the forgiveness of our sins. He is concerned about the salvation of our souls, and they are part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he is also concerned with fighting fear, ending poverty, ending injustice and suffering, selfishness and evil. So to be called by Jesus to live out his teaching is to live out a gospel of grace, not in a legalistic way, but to live in and be part of his gospel of grace. It is to believe that a renewed world is coming here, the world we all want, not the world we currently experience. The Christian faith is not just about morality. It's not just about being good. It is different. The Christian faith is about being part of God's kingdom here. The Christian faith is affirming. It's affirming to us all. The gospel of Jesus affirms our place within God's creation. It affirms our place in his kingdom now and forever. It affirms that all of us here have an individual path to follow with Christ. And that was God's plan for us as individuals since the beginning of time. The resurrection of Jesus, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the ongoing presence and work of his Holy Spirit through and around all believers, is testament and proof that the kingdom has come. God's kingdom is not yet complete here on earth. It is not yet manifested here in all of its ultimate power and glory, but it is here. See, Jesus says to us, follow me, don't get distracted, don't turn from the path laid out for you, but follow me no matter what. Sometimes the path leads through some horrible times. But if you're following the path that Jesus laid out for you, he is with you. You will be able to tackle those things head on. There may be intense challenges ahead on the road. And the sad thing is that Christian martyrs are still made today. But don't misunderstand me. The life following Jesus also brings the most amazing blessings. It transforms you. It transforms those around you. It transforms the world. Through Christians who follow the path mapped in advance for us, God continues to reduce the terrible remnants of evil in this world. through Christians, through God's people. He continues to reduce the suffering of all and continues to lift people into a new life. And of course, Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't already done. And on the cross, he went to the worst place of all. You know, sometimes when I think about the crucifixion, I imagine the devil watching from the crowd. I imagine the devil rubbing his hands with glee as he thinks he's done it. He has finally done it. He has finally defeated God. And then I also imagine the devil quietly but quickly fleeing as he realizes something totally unexpected has happened. That by killing Jesus on the cross, he has actually killed himself. He has actually ended his own power. And death has been defeated. See, God used the cross unexpectedly. He used the cross to defeat death itself. Jesus followed the path he knew was necessary for us to be saved, for death to be defeated. He followed the path of immense suffering, pain, and torture, so we can be part of God's kingdom forever. George MacDonald was a 19th century Christian minister. In 1872, a book he wrote was published called The Princess and the Goblin. It's a children's fairy tale written to teach the Christian faith. It's out of copyright, so you can read it online, and I really do recommend you do. So I appreciate that none of you came here tonight expecting me to talk about goblins. Sorry. The key character in this tale is an 8-year-old princess called Irene. Irene one day meets her fairly mystical great-great-grandmother. And one day the grandmother gives Irene a ring with a thread attached to it. A ring with a thread attached to it. The grandmother says, "You can't see it, you can only feel it. It's so fine, you can't see the thread attached to it. You can only feel it when you really pay attention." And she says to Irene, "If you ever feel yourself in danger, follow the thread wherever it leads you." Irene asks, "Will it lead me to you wherever you are so I'll be safe?" "Yes," says grandmother, "but it may take you on a very roundabout way. You must not doubt the way, but follow wherever it leads." A few days later, Irene is in bed. And goblins start to scream and shout in the garden, and she can hear their snarls. So she quickly remembers. And she starts to follow the thread. But to her dismay, instead of it leading her to some safe hiding place, the thread leads her out of the front door and into the garden where the goblins are. It takes her to the cave where the goblins live and right up to a dead end piled with rocks and stones. So Irene panics. In her panic, she thinks her grandmother has forsaken her. And she turns around and she wants to follow the thread back to her house. But the thread has disappeared. You see, the thread only leads in one direction. The path laid for her by her great-great-grandmother only goes one way. So Irene's out of options. She follows the thread back to the heap of rocks and starts to scrabble. Her fingers are bleeding, such is her panic and scrabbling at the rocks. And then she hears a cry. And she finds her friend who has been trapped behind the stones. And they're both astounded. Her friend says, "How did you know I was here? How did you find me?" And Irene simply says, "My grandmother sent me." They both continue scrabbling at the rocks, digging through. Their hands are bleeding, and eventually they break through into a cavern. And Irene follows her thread. But her friend says, no, not that way. I've been there before. There's nothing there. It's another dead end. That's how I got trapped. Irene says, yes, but this is the way the thread goes, and I must follow it. It may not make sense now, but I must follow it wherever it goes. So they continued, and the apparent dead end wasn't a dead end at all, but hidden was a tunnel which had been concealed, and no one knew it was there. You see, they didn't need to go back and fight the goblins to escape. They used the tunnel that God led them to, because in this story, the great-great-grandmother is God. And God led Irene not just to safety, but also on a journey to save her friend before God saved them both. Jesus says to us, follow him. And when we follow him, we not only have our own lives transformed, but we allow ourselves to be used by God to transform the lives of those around us, just as Irene allowed herself to be used to save her friend, even though she had no idea that he was in peril. God demonstrates a deep compassion and love for us all. And by responding to his call to follow him, we are also led to try and be more Christ-like every day. Jesus says, follow me. He also says, the path I'm taking you on may sometimes look like I'm taking you to a dead end. It may sometimes look like I'm taking you to danger, but follow it. So all we need to do is follow our thread wherever it leads. Follow the path that has been left by God for us. If we focus on God, we will be able to sense and feel the path laid out for us, even though we may not be able to see it. The path doesn't work backwards. The path we have to follow only goes forwards. It doesn't work if we run away, so follow it always and without distraction. And if we do that, God says he will turn us into people he will use to change lives. Jesus has done everything he calls us to. When he called the disciples to leave their livelihoods and their family behind, he had already left his Father's side in heaven. The crucifixion, not only is he suffering immense pain, but he also knows that certain death is waiting for him. He follows his thread to death on the cross, so that after his resurrection, we can follow our thread into his eternal loving arms. So like Irene, your hands may get bloody, but the only way to walk with God is to follow the thread. And when things get tough or we face distraction from earthly things, such as sins that bind us, or an unhealthy obsession with money or the latest gadgets, perhaps we should keep praying and saying to ourselves, I'm not going to go off piste. I'm not going to waver from the path, and I will follow the thread left by Jesus for me. Whatever we face on the journey, we will not be defeated. God will not forsake us. He died on the cross so that we may live with him forever. Jesus followed his thread so that we can follow our thread, the thread he lays for us, which leads into his loving arms so we can live with him forever. Will you pray with me? Father, you call us not to be happy, not to be merely spiritual, but you call us to follow you. So, Lord, may we respond to your call and make you Lord of our hearts and Lord of our lives. And let us respond to your call without distraction or fear. And let us follow you wherever you lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's just keep silence for a few minutes.